This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
To Greg Cosell, who joins us right now on the River Islands guest line, the czar of NFL films, as it is Super Bowl week, a very, very big week. Good afternoon, Greg. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. We got to admit, we've been like knee deep in the NBA trade deadline all week. So it's almost
Yeah,
the Super Bowl is almost kind of sneaking up on us. But when you look at this matchup, just sort of the view from 10,000 feet, Greg, like what are some of the specific matchups that you think are kind of the linchpins to what's going to happen here?
Well, guys, you know the kind of work I do, so that's a hard question. There's probably 20 things I could talk about. You know, obviously from a 30,000-foot point of view, what is Steve Spagnuolo going to do to stop Barkley? And, you know, because I go deep in the weeds, I think about it in terms of what is he going to do with his defensive front? Is he going to play a five-man front at times when they're normally a four-man D-line? How is he going to deploy his linebackers, Bolton and Tranquil? You know, is he going to run blitz on early downs? And will the Eagles, believe it or not, maybe be a little more aggressive in the pass game on early downs because they know they're going to get one-on-one matchups outside the numbers? And that's the strength of Hurts as a passer, throwing outside the numbers with Brown and Smith, maybe versus McDuffie and Watson. So, yeah, I think there's, you know, that element on that side of the ball is really fascinating to me because, you know, Spags is not just going to line up and play like it's a regular team.
Would that be almost a give up by Philadelphia, Greg? A team that rushed it more times than any other team in the NFL feels like their best foot forward is the ground game. What do they do with the rushing attack that makes it so difficult to stop outside of, you know, how much of the read action they do with Jalen Hurts?
Well, there's a couple of factors there. First of all, the O-line is obviously phenomenal. It's the best run-blocking O-line in the league. It weighs more than 1,700 pounds, and they wear you out through the course of the game. But the other thing that's really interesting about their offense and their run game is it's really kind of layered. You know, everybody just thinks they hand it to Barkley and he runs and they got a good O-line and boy, it's all good. But there's so many layers to their run game because you have Hurts predominantly in the gun. And when he's in the gun, you always have the zone read as an option. So you have to defend that. You have to allocate a defender to Hurts all the time when he's in the gun. And then there's other elements that they add. They add screen elements. So defenders react to that. So there's so many layered parts to just what ends up being basic runs. And the other thing that they started to do exceptionally well is motion. And mostly we think of motion guys in the pass game, but motion's a really big deal in the run game too, because what that often does is it changes run support for the defense. So you're trying to minimize run support. You're trying to gain numbers in the run game. They did that beautifully, for instance, on Barkley's 65-yard touchdown run on the very first play against the Commanders when they used motion and then put the run numbers in their favor. They're really good with motion in the run game.
Greg, I'm glad you brought that up, that specific player, that specific thing. The run game for the Eagles is obviously such a strength, but so is what the Chiefs have done against the run game, both in the playoffs in the past and even this year. Like, they just usually do not give up a 100-yard rusher. When you look at the specifics of that matchup, do you see an edge somewhere?
I mean, I would still give the edge to the Eagles, but it's not a big edge in the sense that, you know, they're so much better. But the thing is, guys, and I know you watch the games, when you watch the Eagles play, it just seems inevitable that Barkley's going to break a long run somewhere along the line. So obviously the Chiefs really want to prevent that. We'll see how the game goes. You know, the great thing about a game like this is you can talk about what's happened up to this point, but there's always a few tweaks and wrinkles because teams have had 2 weeks to prepare that we just don't know about. But, you know, the thing with Barkley is you can theoretically stop him. In other words, maybe he gains 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, 1 yard, and then all of a sudden he breaks one off, and that's the killer. And the other thing to remember about the Eagles, the Chiefs are kind of like this too, but the Eagles are really probably the best purveyor of this in the league, is they are a four-down offense. So once they get to their own 40-yard line, okay, the minus 40-yard line, if it's fourth and 4-3, they're going for it. They are not punting. And that changes the way you have to play defense. Because if it's 3rd and 9 and you give up 7 yards and you think, hey, we get them off the field, you're not getting the Eagles off the field. They go for it. So that clearly changes how you have to play defense.
And is that something that Kansas City mirrors? And I can't help but think about Patrick Mahomes in this game and how clutch he's been, not only throughout this year, but is Kansas City a similar offense in terms of their willingness to go for it on 4th and medium?
Yes. Yes. My sense is, I could be wrong because I don't have numbers in front of me, but it seems to me the Eagles do it a little more, but the Chiefs absolutely do it. But one thing the Chiefs are exceptional at, and this is a critical down in this game on that side of the ball, is they are phenomenal on 3rd down. They convert at a really high rate, over 50%, and they do it with a combination of scheme, tactics, and obviously personnel. And that's the challenge for the Eagles defense, 3rd down. And obviously 3rd down is relative. 3rd and 3, you're thinking different defensively than 3rd and 9. But this is where the Chiefs are so good. And we all know that Mahomes does tend to run more in the playoffs. So that becomes a factor. So in a sense, if you're the Eagles, it's almost as if you have to have two defenses. You have to have your structure defense in which you hope the play occurs, which, you know, is within 2.5 seconds. But then when you get beyond 2.5 seconds, where Mahomes is so special, it's almost as if you have to have a second defense, and that's what makes it difficult.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, at the Super Bowl with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Greg, for whatever reason, when these two have matched up in recent years, Devontae Smith has been wonderful, and I know he's a little dinged up with the hamstring. Yep. But assuming he plays and he goes, is there something on film that you notice as to why he's able to get loose, or is it kind of circumstantial?
I think he becomes a factor. Look, obviously everybody remembers the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but these two teams played last year in Week 11, and that's when the Chiefs had a LeJarius Sneed, and he matched up to A.J. Brown pretty much the whole game, and Brown only had one catch for 8 yards. Now, Sneed's not there, but McDuffie's still there. And Spagnuolo's going to play a lot of man coverage. That's what he does. He plays press man. That's his deal. So the question is, and we don't know the answer to this, but the question is, will he match McDuffie on Brown, or will he just play sides, and whoever ends up being over McDuffie is over McDuffie? We don't know the answer to that, but Smith is a really good receiver, and he kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit because Brown is probably a top five receiver in the league. But Devontae Smith could easily be a big factor in this game.
What about the battle of the tight ends? Because Travis Kelce gets all the headlines because of his excellent play and his quite famous girlfriend. But Dallas Goedert, quietly since getting healthy, has been very effective.
And Goddard is very much a function of the schematics of the Eagles, because the Eagles' passing game is not really that multidimensional, because that's where Hurts has some limitations. Hurts does not throw the ball in the middle of the field very often. I mean, think about this, guys. In the NFC Championship game, Jalen Hurts, I think, dropped back over 30 times. He He did not throw one ball between the numbers in the entire game. Think about that. So Goddard becomes kind of more important within the schematics of what they do with the pass game, how they get him the ball with space and room to run, as opposed to hitting him, let's say, the way we normally think of tight ends in the middle of the field. Now, Kelce, it's been an odd year for him. It's been his worst year. He averaged 8.5 yards per reception. He had the fewest number of receptions that went for first downs than he's had in a long, long time, probably since close to his rookie season. So he's been a little bit of a different player in the context of their offense, but you obviously can't ignore him, and no one would be surprised, obviously, if he went 8 for 110 in this game. I mean, he's Kelce. So it's not as if the Eagles can ignore him, but the Eagles are a nickel defense. They play man and zone. It would not surprise me when they play man, particularly if the Chiefs have two tight ends on the field. It would not surprise me if Cooper DeJean is the matchup on Kelce.
Greg, I'm interested in this because, and you know, you talk about Kelce. I'm interested in the other Kelce because last year when the tush push really became a thing, a lot of people went, it's the personnel. It's what Jason Kelce is doing. But the tush push for the Eagles has worked again this year.
Yep.
Doesn't work for every team. And we saw Josh Allen not have great success with it against these Chiefs. So when they get to that play, do you think the Chiefs have some sort of an answer, or is it going to be same old, and why does it work for the Eagles and not seemingly everyone else?
Well, it pretty much worked for the Bills in every game they played until that game. So it does kind of work for everyone else, too. So, but that's the game people remember because the Bills ran it a few times and it didn't work. But for the Eagles, they pretty much don't get stopped. I mean, my guess is that they'll still run it really well. And by the way, that becomes a big factor because, again, that's a fourth down play as well, and they convert on those. I mean, that's a meaningful part of their offense.
Looking at these two teams stylistically, if the Chiefs are going to win, is it more low scoring or is it the Eagles needing a high scoring game? Just looking at the film and the tempo and how these teams go about it, what do you see from a pace and tempo style which would favor either?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Team.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think that, you know, it's a great question and a hard question to answer because here, let me answer it this way. The Chiefs actually have two really burner wideouts in Worthy and Brown, but yet they haven't really been an explosive offense. Now, Brown's only come back recently. So you can look at what they've done all year long, and they've not been an explosive passing game. They've really been a third down conversion offense. But we know Mahomes can make any throw. We know that Brown and Worthy can run. I believe that they are going to attempt some vertical throws in this game, particularly going against Darius Slay. Now, they could, if they convert those, we could see some big plays. If not, then they'll be more of a sustaining offense. The Eagles, at their by their nature, are a sustaining offense, but because of Barkley, they can be an explosive offense as well. So it's hard to know. I mean, I think both teams are going to take some shots early in this game to see if they can hit big plays. And I think how that turns out will dictate a little bit about the pace and tempo of the game.
It's interesting, Greg, because we've heard you often this year. We talk about the Eagles, and you've had some real insight on Jalen Hurts and what's kind of, I guess, not working in the past game. But listening to you talk about this matchup, it sounds like you're expecting the Eagles to check in on that passing game maybe a little more than they have been in the past.
I would think they would check in early and see how it goes. Yes, I do, because they know that the Chiefs' focus will be on Barkley. And they also know that Spags, unlike some other teams, see, now it becomes opponent-based. Spags does play man coverage and press man on the outside. That's what he does. That's a foundation of his defense. So there are going to be opportunities one-on-one outside the numbers, and that's where Hurts throws the ball best. So I'm not suggesting he's going to drop back 50 times, guys. Don't get me wrong. I just think they are going to take some shots early and see how it goes.
When you look at some of the gadgetry and some of the trick stuff that has done, do you look at Kansas City and their use of Xavier Worthy and, you know, whether or not it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes being split wide? Does Kansas City have some wrinkles that you've seen on tape that might catch Philadelphia off guard?
Well, if there are wrinkles like that in this game, there won't be any that we've seen on tape. There'll be something brand new. And it's very likely that each team will have a couple in the bag, and they'll decide when, if and when they want to use them, depending on the flow of the game. But they won't be something that we've seen this year.
Greg, I'm interested when I hear people break down this matchup, because the Chiefs are the Chiefs, I hear people a lot talking about the big game experience and the success that they've had. You're a film guy. And so I wonder, when you're breaking things down, how do you factor in something like experience?
I mean, I really can't, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously we know that Mahomes is the kind of quarterback that no moment is too big for him. So we know that if it gets down, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you've heard a lot of people say this week, in between discussing Jimmy Butler, that, you know, if Mahomes gets the ball and he's down by two with 2 minutes to go, that the Chiefs are going to win the game. You know, there's no way to quantify that. It just happens. Mahomes wins those games. He does not get stopped. So, you know, there's no way on film to, you know, get into some guy's head and understand what experience means. But it's obviously a team that's been in a lot of these situations. So it's not a new situation for them at all. And it all stems from the quarterback, who I'm sure is incredibly calm in the huddle, and he plays very calmly.
Greg, what a treat to have you all football season long. These conversations have been wonderful. I do wonder if you've done any film or at least audio breakdown of both me and Dibs this year, and what you would say about that.
Well, you know, guys, I hate to say this, but I really haven't. You know, now that the season is sort of winding down, I've already started and jumped in hard to watching college players. So that's my focus now, and that's a little bit of a different focus. But that's a total grind in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
No, that's totally fair. Who should the Niners take at 11, Greg?
I'm not there yet, and I don't necessarily think like that. I just love evaluating players. You know, like I mean, I've done three quarterbacks already in hardcore detail. Those guys I'm done with, and I've seen, you know, some defensive players. You know, I just start grinding away watching guys. It's a different kind of experience.
Yeah.
So it really becomes fun.
Well, when you get to all the three techniques and the left and right guards and maybe the right tackles, we'll call you back and you can give us a detailed breakdown of the big guys that the Niners might want.
I on Radio Row the last couple of days, Fred Warner was walking around a lot. I don't know him, so I didn't say hello. But, you know, those guys, the stars that walk around on Radio Row here, as you guys know, I'm sure, always have an entourage.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
And I don't have an entourage, and I always wonder about that. You know, I don't have that.
Greg, we can work on that for you.
Yeah, we'll get you an entourage.
Get you a corporate sponsor and, you know, puff your chest out and let's do this next year.
I think you guys need to help me out there and get me an entourage and a corporate sponsor.
No problem.
And then I can walk around like I'm really important.
Goals, Greg. Yep. We're going to keep working on this, okay? have a great trip out there. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Love being with you. Thanks so much.
All right,
thanks,
Greg. There it is. Greg Cosell, NFL Films.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.